Oh my gosh, and it's contagious. It's like it says, everybody is going to see how great is our God. And when you go back through the Bible, you find that God did things that He asked us to do, things that we were not capable of doing. One time what He did was He took this army, and this one army was supposed to go against this other army. I don't know, it was like 30,000 people. And God said, what I want you to do is I want you to go to everybody that has a new family, that is newly married, send them home. Then go down to this pond or this lake and have everybody drink from it. When somebody drinks a certain way, tell them to go home. They were up against an army of like 40, 50,000 people. And God got them down to 300 people that He was going to send against this massive army. It wasn't about conquering the army. It was about showing the glory of God.
Amen.
And that's what God does. And the thing is then other people will see. And it's contagious. Being a Christian is contagious. But it's a lot easier to be mean and nasty and just a horrible person than it is to be good. Because what I found in a lot of things that we do is that we have things come against us. And we have big things come against us. And I have to back up and go, what is our mission? What are we supposed to be doing? And although if we rose to the stuff that came against us, it may give us instant gratification, but in the long run, it's just a big waste of energy. And what we found is we just stay on God's path. He lights our path, and then it's up to us whether we follow that path or not. And my thing is what I found is when we stay on that path, other people see it. And they don't come up and go, oh, wow, check that out. I like what you have. They watch for a while. And they see, is this really your lifestyle, or are you faking it? You know? And the more we do it, the more people realize. And the more you do it, the more your light shines. And the more your light shines, the brighter your light gets. And the more people see what's inside of you. That's the difference between Christians and unbelievers. Is that you have that light that starts burning inside of you, and you just stoke that light, and other people go, wow. They may not ask you how you got it. They may not say that they want what you have, but it's almost like moths to a flame. All of a sudden, you'll start seeing people around you because they want to feel that same feeling that you have. And that's one of the reasons I believe that the disciples followed Jesus. Not only did they want that feeling that they got around Jesus, but He promised them something. He promised them something that was never promised before. It was in the Bible. This is what you're going to have. But it's going to be when the Messiah comes. And they wanted what He had. I can't even imagine the peace that passes all understanding. This peace, this happiness, it's way beyond anything that I could imagine. Because one of the things that God says is, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So if I believe that I understand what His peace is, I don't really understand. Because He said, you have no idea. It's bigger. It's greater. It's huge. And it's right in front of us. All we have to do is take it. And we want to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made. You know, like I talked about, for Judas it was 30 pieces of silver. That was the price of a life to Jesus. To Judas. But look at what Jesus gave. The price of our life to Jesus was His own life. And He gave His life for us. That's how important we are. That's how special you are. And He wants us to remember that. And He wants us to remember that no matter what comes against us, we are covered by the blood of Jesus. We're protected. It just depends on whether you claim it or not. And so what he wants us to do is he wants us to remember him, and he wants us to remember that night, and he wants us to remember why he died for us. And so that night when he was with his disciples, he was in the upper room, and I'm sure it was a very somber event. Or the disciples may have thought it was just like every other day. We're just celebrating the Passover meal. They probably had no idea. So in front of you are the wine and the bread cups. When you peel back the top part of that, you'll find the bread, the wafer, and then underneath that is the wine. No, it's not real wine. It's juice. So the juice is a pre-starter to wine. It's just that Jesus hasn't touched it yet, but he's getting ready to. Okay, so just hold on. So that day he took the bread, and when he broke it, he held it to heaven. And when he blessed it, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the wine, and he held it to heaven. And he blessed it, and he said, "Take, drink. This is my blood shed for you. This is a new covenant between us and you. Take, drink for the remission of your sins." Keep the church going, and if you'd like to make an offering, there is a mailbox in the back. Just drop it in the mailbox, and we appreciate that. Okay, one of the things that I wanted to our reach out for June challenge is Hooked on Jesus PBS for families and kids. This is great. This is coming up next Friday. Is going to be the first night of Hooked on Jesus. God is bringing a lot of things together. It's like Ruth said, we had a problem with one of our vehicles, and we decided to rent a U-Haul trailer rather than have it towed. So Ruth calls to rent a trailer, and it's at the Anchor Inn bait shop. Okay, we kind of knew where it was, and we go in there, and Ruth starts talking to the guy about Hooked on Jesus, and the guy that owns the place says, "I want to be part of that." Whoa. I'm like, that is so cool. Not only that, but he knows some of the people in the congregation. And I'm like, yeah, God, you are good. How great is our God? Yeah. He's great. This is his command from John 15, 12 and 13. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for one's friends. Amen. So I think it's an honor to be a friend of Jesus because he laid down his life for us. So our sins would be forgiven once and for all. And the other thing with this verse is the first thing he says is to love each other. He doesn't say, "I have loved you, so love me this way." He says, "Love each other as I have loved you." There's a reason he put that first place. The other thing that we have to remember, especially as Christians, when you hand good people possibilities, they do great things. Oh my gosh, I see that all the time in here. That's why it's so easy for me to get excited. And I did turn down the air conditioning, and we've got the fans going. I don't know what's going on. Like I said, we've got things coming against us, but I'm going to keep smiling because I know that we're covered by the blood of Jesus, and I know that we're protected, but Satan doesn't want us to think we are. He wants us to feel beat down. He wants us to feel less than we are. But we do great things because good people see possibilities in what we do. But one of the things that I want to talk about today is to be still. This is intentional. The picture where I put be still, where I put that it's the sermon, I did it intentionally. It's off on the side. Because very seldom, I don't know about you all, but some of us have a hard time just being still. Good morning. And today I want to talk to you, everyone, about being still, because that's one of those things that seems so hard for most of us to do. We're exposed to so many things each day, and advertising is just one of them. So how many ads do you think people see in a day? A number.
About one every
40
seconds.
Okay. Well, they did a study, and experts estimate Americans are exposed to between 4,000 and 10,000 ads each day. That's according to Advertising Road. That is a lot. That's just advertisement.
And there's an ad within the ad.
Do what?
There's an ad hidden within those ads.
Yeah.
Your mind.
And so those things are constantly hitting us. Then take all the social media we partake in, the texting, the phone calls, the television, the things that take us on television that want us to pull away. You want us to pull away from being still. We just can't seem to put down our telephones. We just can't seem to be still. And this goes on and on. But when do we find time to be still? Just to chill. I mean, really be still. With nothing going on around us. When was the last time you just stopped?
3 hours every morning on the front porch, no phone, no nothing, a cup of hot chocolate, lobster on my rocks.
Cool.
3 hours every morning.
But not everybody can do that.
Right.
I mean, not everybody just sits there doing nothing. And you're retired.
Yeah.
Some of us got to work. Some of us are responsible to other people.
3 hours every morning.
But when was the last time you listened for God to speak to you? When was the last time you just sit there? I know you had 3 hours to listen to Him, got with your cup of coffee, got it.
I listen for Him every day.
So how are you going to hear Him in and amongst all the chatter and all the social media that we partake in, the texting, the phone calls, the worrying about somebody else, wondering what's going on with them, are they okay? God tries to talk to us, but sometimes with everything going on, do we really pay attention to Him and what He has to tell us or show us? Because God talks to us, if you look through the Old Testament, God's always talking to people, telling them where to go, telling them what to do. And I mean this respectfully, but I've seen people do things they think are from God, but they're really not. And I'm not judging anyone, but there are some things I've seen people say, it's for God, or they're doing it for God, but actually it looks and feels like something they do all on their own. They just call it doing it for God. And I've seen, and I know myself sometimes, well, I've seen some people like, I think God wants me to paint that wall. And so they get the paint, and they start painting the wall, and then God really needs them. And God says, hey, I need you to go take care of this. And they go, God, you got to wait just a minute. I'm not done painting the wall. God says, but I need you to go take care of this. God, I'm doing the wall. And so they miss what God tells them. But when do we just be still and listen for that still small voice? When do we just listen to the birds and the bees without an agenda, without recompense, and without any reservations? One of the things it says in Psalms 4:4, go ahead, be angry, but don't sin. Meditate within your heart, find your bed, and be still. It goes on to say, offer the sacrifices. Verse 5 says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Maybe nowadays it's texting. Maybe it's the phone calls. Maybe it's social media. Sacrifice those things for the righteousness of being still and listening to God. And put your trust in the Lord. Which is tough to do sometimes. Just say, God, you take care of this. I know for me it's like, God, don't worry about it. I got this. And God's going, why don't you let me take care of it? That's light work. I can handle that so you can spend time with me. Okay, God, take care of it, because when you take care of it, I can go do something else. Which is not what He wants us to do. He wants us to spend time with Him. It's hard to be still, especially when we have errands. So many people depend on us, and we feel obligated to help them. And I'm not saying don't help those people who need help, but what about you? What about your own personal being? What about you taking time to be still? Taking time to be with the Lord? Because He's always waiting on us. He's always there. Even Jesus found time to be still, and He had His disciples do the same thing. He wanted them to be still too, so they could rest a while. And Jesus said in Mark 6:31, He said, hey, let's go out by ourselves. Let's go chill somewhere. A quiet place where there's nobody else so we can rest. Now, this happened after they had fed the 5,000. And people kept coming to Jesus. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and His apostles didn't even have time to eat. They didn't have time to refresh. They didn't have time to replenish. And I see us sometimes doing that. We get so wrapped up in life, we don't slow down and stop. But what I found, and it's hard for me to do, that's why I can preach this, is that we get going so much, we just keep going. And we don't slow down. But what I found is that when I do slow down, when I take a breath, when I chill, when I stop and replenish, I'm much more effective. Because then somehow it's almost like God throws down a lifeline and says, just grab on. Let me go with you. So how often do we find ourselves in the same boat as Jesus, doing the same thing, just constantly going? So many things going on in our lives, so many people coming and going. Pretty soon our lives become chaotic and out of control. But it was like somebody said one time, actually it was Joyce Meyer, she was praying to God, and she said, God, my schedule is so full, I'm constantly busy, flying all over the United States, going from one thing to the other. And God said, don't blame me, you're in control of your own schedule. And each one of us are in control of our own schedule. Maybe that's why Jesus went off to quiet places, so He could recuperate, to rest, and to hear what His Father had to say to Him. Rather than constantly being busy doing something. And it's hard. And like I said, I'm probably one of the worst people at taking time for myself. But when I really sit back, when I slow down long enough and I think about it, the one thing that is scary for me is, what if God is trying to give me a blessing and I'm too busy? That's okay, God. I don't have time to listen to you. That's okay, God. I don't have time to slow down. And God's going, but I want to give you this blessing. And I've seen it in people's lives. I've seen them start slowing down, and good things start happening with them. They slow down even more, and great things start happening to them. Because then God starts working. God starts making things happen rather than us starting to make things happen. If I don't slow down enough, if I don't stop, if I don't be still, I could miss this. Not only did God's got another assignment, but He also has a blessing for the last assignment that I completed for Him. Whether it's me doing my job the way as if the Lord was looking at it, or if He actually wanted me to do something. I want you to go talk to that person over there. And then, I don't know about you, but then you go into discussions going, God, I don't even know that person. And God says, but I do, and you need to go talk to him. And eventually I do, and then he gives me blessings. And I think we have all missed blessings because we couldn't slow down long enough to claim it, to take it from God. As for me, a lot of times I sit there and I go, I was doing God's work. That's why I didn't have time to listen to God. But in reality, it was my work. And I attributed it to being God's work. Now, what this is a story about Elijah. And what I see with this with Elijah, what Elijah did is Elijah followed God's what God told him to do. Set him on a mission. What I want you to do is I want you to bring all of the Baal prophets into the same place. All 450 of them. And then once they got there, God said, kill them all. Kill every Baal prophet. Baal prophets weren't necessarily satanic prophets, but they didn't believe in God. They believed in Baal. B-A-A-L. And so what happened is Elijah brought them all together because they listened to Elijah. Then he had them all killed. Well, Queen Jezebel didn't like that too much. So she sent a messenger to Elijah. And she said, by this time tomorrow, you will be as my Baal prophets are right now. And so Elijah, he ran. He took off. And he left his assistant in one city, and he went out into the wilderness. He went out and he hid. And God said, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. This is why we need to be quiet. And behold, the Lord went past, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains, and they broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind, because a lot of times that's what we think is when the Lord comes, the whole earth is going to shake. And we're all going to know He's there. But that's not what I see God doing. Then after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in all of these great things that were going on and all of these things that were happening that would catch your attention. Social media, texting, phone calls. Okay? Is God in any of those? What are you doing when you're looking at those? Are you looking at social media to find God? Or are you just out there doing something other than connecting with God? And what finally happened is there was a still, small voice that you can't hear amongst all the other chatter because we can't be still. And that's what God said. Get out of the cave, walk to the front of the cave, and I'm going to come by. Look, I'm not in the wind. I'm not in the earthquake. I'm not in the fire. I'm just a still, small voice. Elijah was so distraught with everything that had gone on, he forgot his trust in the Lord. But the Lord did not forget about Elijah. He had just done this huge thing for the Lord. He killed all these Baal prophets. He had queens and armies after him because of what he'd done. I thought it was pretty slick. How do you get 450 people into an area and then kill every one of them without any of them knowing it? I thought that was God. It had to be a God thing. And it was Elijah, one man, that made this happen. The Lord was always there for him, and he's always there for us too. That's what it says in Matthew 28. We just have to be still sometimes to hear that still small voice, to see the flower, to see the bumblebee, to enjoy the sunshine, to enjoy the clouds. Because if we didn't have clouds, we wouldn't have rain. If we didn't have heat, we wouldn't have convection. If we didn't have convection, we wouldn't have clouds growing. The clouds wouldn't give us rain. God knows what he's doing. I think sometimes we're not sure that God knows what he's doing. We just have to be still. And what I didn't say just slow down long enough and do a drive-by with the Lord. Hey, Lord, thank you for being a friend. I appreciate it. Elijah had to be still. He had to stop moving, and he had to breathe. He forgot his trust in the Lord. And I think sometimes we do that. And then the Lord took over from there. Told him it's okay. Everything's good. This is always a busy time of year with graduations, visiting family, and working hard. We get focused. There's a lot of hustle and bustle. And sometimes there's barely enough time to eat. Let's just slide by somewhere and grab something to eat. It was like a friend of mine. He comes over to Council Bluffs for Pavilion. And I said, hey, Ed, why don't you give me a holler when you come over to Council Bluffs? He said, because I don't have time. I go to Baumgartner's and I'm out of here. I said, you got to eat lunch, don't you? Why don't we have lunch sometimes? I don't do that. I go through McDonald's, I grab lunch, and I keep moving. And I'm going, wow. He's a very successful person. But he doesn't slow down enough to enjoy what he has. Except his Corvettes. He has several of those. It's important to go off to a quiet place to recharge yourself and rest a while. Just to be still. And such a time is necessary to find rest in Jesus. When you find a place to be still, bring a verse with you. Something that pops up, open your Bible, take that verse with you to meditate on when you go into your quiet place. Biggest thing, find time. Sometime. Start with 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. Nothing. No television. No cell phones. Nothing. And just sit. Start at first, then maybe 7 minutes. Then 10 minutes, then maybe 15 minutes. And I'm stopping at 15 because I'm already getting anxiety. Really? Sit still for 15 minutes? You know what I could do in 15 minutes? You know what the Lord can do in 15 minutes? You know what he can do in 1 minute? Bam! So we got to trust him. Make time to be still. Learn how to trust him. Build that relationship with him. And then peace will find you. And it will find you like no other. Come and find rest with him. This week, this is easy. Be still. Find time to rest and replenish. And you will find peace in presence. You would pray with me? Lord, you've involved an incredible group of people in your ministry here on 8th Avenue. So incredible They're called upon to step out of their comfort zone, stretch and grow for you and your kingdom. We ask your blessing on this ministry and show us how to be still, rest, and replenish so we're ready for our next mission. Watch over this congregation of your people as they go their way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you've not given your heart to the Lord yet, you need to seriously consider doing that today. And I see the big smiles over here. I love it. I love it. There she is. God, you look great. We only have the time that's in front of us now. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen when we walk outside the door. We've just seen so many things go on lately that are just unbelievable. Both good and bad things. This is your time. Don't wait. If you want to give your life to the Lord, just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. And we believe if you said that simple prayer, you've been saved. Keep coming back each week. And if you're online, stay tuned right here where we are. If anyone is interested in being baptized, let me know. We're setting some things up for baptisms. Just give me a holler or reach out to me one way or the other. I would love to baptize everybody. That's an incredible thing. Okay, let's sing our last song.